But I want to share something with you today that God put on my heart. And I have a message, but before I get to this message, God wanted me to kind of preface it with this because he's, you know, just kind of brought this up in my heart. And I think it's important to share. And that is, we're going to look over in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, and then we're going to jump over to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. But let's go to 1 Corinthians 9 first. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians 9. I'm going to share something with you, and I'll get to the title of my message here. We probably won't get through the whole thing today, but I believe that what I share with you will bless you, and we'll pick up next week because it's a little bit longer of a message. But over in 1 Corinthians 9, and let's go over here to verse 24. Verse 24, and I'm going to read pretty much everything today from the Amplified for you. It says this in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, and we're going to go all the way to verse 27. Verse 24 says this, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run?" How many of you know that's, you know, obvious? When you're in a race, what are you doing? You're running. "Their very best to do what? To win. But only one receives the prize." Notice this, "Run whose race?" In the Amplified, it says, "Run your race in such a way that you may seize the prize and make it yours. Now every athlete who goes into training and competes in the games is disciplined." Notice it talks about discipline. "Disciplined and does what? Exercises self-control in all things. They do it to win a crown that withers. But we do it to receive an imperishable crown that cannot wither. Therefore, I do not run without a definite goal. I do not flail around like one beating the air, just shadow boxing. Verse 27, "But like a boxer, I strictly discipline my body." Notice, once again, he's talking about discipline. "And make it my slave, so that after I have preached the gospel to others, I myself will not somehow be disqualified as unfit for service." So verse 24 says, "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run? They run their very best to win, but only one can receive the prize." Look at the next part. "Run whose race?" Run your race. Run your race. Now, over in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, it talks about running your race and laying aside every weight. And if you look at that here, let's look over here in Hebrews. Hebrews 12. The Lord want me to kind of share this with you because I think it'll encourage you guys a little bit this morning. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, who by faith have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness, stripping off what? Stripping off every unnecessary weight and the sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us, let us run with endurance and active persistence the race that is set before" who? For us. Look at verse 2. "Looking away from all that will do" what? "Distract us. And focusing" — where do your eyes need to be? "Focus your eyes on Jesus," is what the Amplified says, "who is the author and perfecter of faith, the first incentive for our belief, and the one who brings our faith to maturity, who for the joy of accomplishing the goal set before him endured the cross, disregarding the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, revealing his deity, his authority, and the completion of his work." So, over there in 1 Corinthians, it's talking about running whose race? Your race. And over here in Hebrews, it's talking about what? Running your race, or our race that's set out before us, and letting go of weights and things that hinder us and sin that so easily entangles us. And it talks about discipline. You notice over there in the first part of, over there when we read 1 Corinthians, it talked about doing what? A runner disciplines his body. And then over here it talks about discipline. Now, the reason I want to share this with you is because this. The Lord told me to share this with you to preface what I'm going to teach today, which is this. we're going to talk about living beyond your past. But before we get into that, the Lord wanted me to encourage you to run your race. And one of the things that I have seen in life that hinders people is not only their past and things that they have done in their past, but when they look back behind them and are trying to run everybody else's race. You cannot be worried about everybody else. You have to run your race and what God has set out for you to do. Now understand this, in my race, I have to run and I have to be what? Paul said you have to be disciplined. Now Paul makes mention there that he beats his own body. Now he's not talking about beating himself up. He's talking about putting his flesh down and building his spiritual man up. He's talking about the real man, Paul. So what he's saying is, I put my flesh down, but I build myself up. So I want to run this race with perseverance and endurance so that I can finish what God has called me to do. And he says, run the race that's set out before you. A lot of times in life, the things that distract us or pull us off course from running our race is our past in other people's race. When you run a race in the natural, the thing they teach you is this. Are you ready? Stay in your lane. You don't go in somebody else's lane. You stay in your lane. So when you run your race, you stay in your lane. You don't decide, like, I'm running this lane, and the gun shoots off, and I take off, and I'm like, I don't like my lane. I like this lane, so I'm going to come over to this guy's lane. Well, if you do that, what happens? You cause a mess. And what happens is you all trip over everybody, and then you end up getting hurt. But if you run your race and you stay in your lane, you will accomplish and finish the race that was set before you. Now, how many of you know every lane is different? The inside lane runs different than the outside lane, and the middle lanes run different. That's why they have different runners at different speeds. That's why you ever watch races, and it looks like somebody's losing, but yet they're coming from behind. Because they put the faster guy at the end. Well, how many of you know that guy can't be worried about how everybody else is doing? He has to run his race. And if you notice, when a runner runs in the natural, they focus. There's an intensity. They don't worry about everybody else. They're not worried that the guy's five, miles in front of them. They're worried about what? Their race. They're thinking about their race. And their job is to what? Run as hard as I can and finish my race and do what's set out before me. Well, the Lord told me this. He said, tell the people to run their race and not be worried about everybody else's race. You can't worry about what everybody else is doing. You know, here's something, and Brother Matt would probably agree with me because Brother Matt has pastored before, and this is something that he would probably agree with me on spiritually. You know, my time with the Lord is my time. That's my race. That's on me. I can't be worried. If Brother Matt's over here and Brother Matt don't want to spend time with God, he doesn't want to read the Word, he doesn't want to go to church, he doesn't want to do the things that God has told us to do in the Word, and Brother Matt doesn't want to do it, I can't concern myself so much with trying to get Brother Matt to serve God and get Brother Matt to read his Bible. If Brother Matt doesn't want to do it, Brother Matt don't have to do it. But what happens is a lot of times Christians will spend all their time trying to get this person to serve God, get this person to come to church, get this person to worship God, that we tax ourselves and wear ourselves out. Therefore, we can't run our race because we're trying to get them to run their race and our race together. And we can't do that. So for me, one of the things that I do is this. I run my race, what God set out for me to do. If Brother Matt wants to come along and encourage me, he can. Brother Matt says, I don't want to read my Bible. Well, Brother Matt, I think you probably should. But you know what? If you don't want to, that's on you. That's not on me. Because Brother Matt's going to have to what? He's going to have to answer to God for what he did, not for what I did. And a lot of times I've seen this with Christians is we get so wrapped up in what everybody else is doing that we forget to run our own race. We forget that God has called us to run a race with perseverance. And to be disciplined, the discipline, one of the things you see in life that's discipline is not entangling yourself with the easy things, the simple things in life. It talks about sin, and most people in that scripture talk about the sin that entangles you. But it says get rid of the weight that so easily entangles you. Well, how many of you know there are some things in lives that maybe aren't sin, but they're weights? You say, what's that mean? I'll just give you an example for 21st century. You ready? You watch so much TV that you got no time for God. That's a weight. And that will entangle you and cause you to not do what God wants you to do. Because how many of you know sometimes we have to be disciplined? When you're naturally speaking with a runner, they have to be disciplined. How many of you know they can't eat everything that everybody else eats? Okay, so let's just look at it this way. Naturally, a runner's running his race. He can't be mad that if I'm going to run a marathon, Brother Lonnie's not running a marathon. So Brother Lonnie's race is not a marathon race. Mine is. So if I'm training for a marathon, I can't be over here going, well, it's not fair that Brother Lonnie gets to eat pizza and I can't. Brother Lonnie's not called to run the marathon. I am. But Brother Lonnie can't sit over there and go, well, Brother Matt's not eating pizza, so maybe I shouldn't eat pizza. Well, if you're not running that race, maybe you can have a piece. But I'm not maybe supposed to eat a piece of pizza until I run my race. And a lot of times what I've seen in life is Christians are running their race and they stop and get out of their lane and try to do something they're not called to do. Because this lane looks better than the lane they're in. But that's the whole trick of the enemy. It looks better, but it's not. Well, I'm gonna come over here and run my race with brother Matt and I are lined up and we're running naturally, and we get down and the gun goes off and I take off and we're staying in our lane. How many of you know we stay in our lane till the end of the race? But if brother Matt is getting distracted, what that scripture said, the things that distract us, if he's not careful and the things start distracting him, what's he do? He starts looking at my lane and starts thinking, well, Matt's lane looks a whole lot better. Matt's lane looks way better than my lane. And then I'm over here looking at Matt's lane. I'm like, well, Matt's lane looks a whole lot better than my lane. Well, what happens if we come over? We collide. What happens if Matt comes over? It now affects me and him. Now he's running the wrong race. Let me paint it for you this way. If you're not called to be a pastor, don't try to be a pastor. If you're not called to be, here we go, on in worship, don't try to be in worship. Thank you so much. I can preach it because Matt does worship. I can play guitar. That's my gifting right there. I can play guitar, but I know my lane. I know my lane so much so that I've learned to stay in my lane. So if somebody tells me to do something that's out of my lane, I'm not going to do it. Why? Because I'm not gifted to do that. That's not where my talent is. And I'll waste all of my time putting my effort trying to do something that God hasn't called me to do. So if I'm not called to be a person to lead worship, then why am I going to spend hours and money and time trying to do that? Ready? When God has called me to serve the church and help park cars. It's because the person that's parking the cars has looked at the other lane and said, that lane looks better, so I want to get up front so people will recognize me, and they'll scoot over into this lane. There's no grace. There's no anointing. There's no gifting there, so it's frustration. It wears you out, and it exhausts you, whereas if you come over here and park cars like you're supposed to and do what God's called you to do and stay in your lane, what's in that lane? His blessing, his help, his provision. And what I found out in life, and I think Brother Matt could testify to this, and most of us in this room could, the person that serves God and does what he's supposed to do, there's a joy there. When a person is over here doing what they're not gifted to do, there's frustration. It's kind of like sandpaper, you know what I mean? And that's one of the things I've done in my life is when I run my race, I've learned to not just look back at my past, but I've learned not to look at everybody else. I've had to learn to look forward and run with my eyes, as the scripture said, looking at Jesus, the author, the perfecter, the finish. He's the one I'm running towards. He's the one that I'm going to talk to when this is said and done. He's the one that I'm going to have to, you know, answer to. And so I'm running my race. I'm not over here going, well, man, you know, brother Matt's over here two lanes over. His race looks so much funner than my race. Because how many of you know everybody's race always looks funner or a little bit more joyous at certain points, but it's not always that way. That's not the case. You know what I mean? You look over at brother Matt and you're like, man, his race looks so much fun. I want to run his race because right now my race is hard. I'm having to discipline myself. I'm going to get through things. And then you come over here into brother Matt's lane and you start running with him and you're like, oh, this is fun. And then it lasts for but a season. And then all of a sudden his gets harder. And if you would have stayed in your lane, the hardness would have changed and you would be the one rejoicing. And if brother Matt's not careful, he would have looked at you and been like, oh, it looks like Pastor Matt's having so much fun over there. I want to come into his lane. But Pastor, brother Matt, if he's not careful, doesn't realize what I went through before that to get to where I am. See, that's the thing. That's how it is. When you're running a race, spiritually speaking, you have got to be focused on Jesus. You cannot be worried about what everybody else is doing, and you can't be worried about what everybody else thinks. You can't, because God has called you to do something. He's called you to accomplish something. And so when you run your race, we know that we can't look back, but don't also look to the left and to the right. Don't look at who's running beside you. I like what that scripture says. It says, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. So what's that mean? There's people in heaven cheering you on for the race you're running. And so if they could, you could hear them, they would be saying, stay the course. Don't get off course. Don't change lanes. Do what God's called you to do. Let me tell you something. Can I tell you something this morning? For those of you that are here this morning, your gifting and your calling is important. No matter how insignificant you feel that it doesn't matter to you, or if it feels insignificant to you, it's not to God. A lot of times we put emphasis. And this is what Christians do, and it's something that everybody has to work through at some point in their life. But so many people put emphasis. They think God is more pleased with people who do the things that are seen than the people who do things that are unseen. So most people think that my life is the best life. So they think being a pastor is it. I mean, all you do is play golf and preach. That's what most people think you do when you're a pastor, you know. So they think that's the course I want. So I've seen people I went to school with, and brother Matt and I went to the same school, graduated pretty much almost the same years. I mean, we were real close to each other. And I've seen this where people think getting behind the pulpit is the best thing ever, and they chase after that pulpit. They chase it, and they get up in the pulpit, and what do? It eats them alive, spits them out for dinner, and they leave worse than they came in. And why? Because they're not gifted to do it. I've watched people step into places and try to do something that they're not called to do, and it frustrates them. And so I want to encourage you today with this is, you might say, but Pastor Matt, I feel like my gift is so insignificant. It's not insignificant to God. It's not that your gift is not important. Your gift is vitally important. Because you might say, but you're the pastor. You're more important. Well, here's the thing. You might be the, was it a shoe salesman, I think it was, that, I can't remember, was it Billy Graham? It was one of the ministers, one of the really well-known evangelists that reached, I mean, tons of people back in the day. He was come to salvation, might have been Billy Graham, but by a shoe salesman. That's how the guy got born again, was when he bought a pair of shoes. The person back in the day putting his shoes on his feet with the shoehorn, putting them down there at his feet, put it on, told him about Jesus, and got born again, and the guy went out and changed the whole world. Could you imagine if that shoe salesman said, my gift is not important? See, that's the thing. Yeah, there's people that I reach being a pastor, but there's people that you will reach that I will never touch. And one of those people that you reach may be the next president of the United States. One of the next people you reach may be one of the, you know, well-known people on television. I know for a fact that there's a, a very well-known lady that travels and ministers. And I don't know how the connections always go because I haven't heard all the stories. But long story short, when she was little, her grandmother, I think it was her grandmother or her mother, I think it was her grandmother, was a Christian, was involved in the things out there in Hollywood. And one of the kids that would come over and play, they were Christian, born again, spirit-filled. One of the people that would come over there and play was George Clooney. And that lady has said, I've heard her say that many times he will reach out to her relation and talk to her on the phone about the things of God occasionally. So see, like, could you imagine being the grandmother and you're watching the kids or the mother watching the kids and you're like, I feel so insignificant because I'm not the pastor. I'm not the person leading worship. So God definitely probably doesn't like me. My gift is so small. It's so minute. It's not important. And God says, no, you have no idea who's in front of you. See, that's how God sees things. So that's why I want to encourage you, when you're running your race, don't worry about everybody else. Run what God's called you to do. And, you know, God will gift you and grant you the grace and the strength and the endurance to do what you were called to do. And something I found out is, yes, you're going to go through seasons, okay? You're going to have seasons where it's real easy, joyous. You're going to have some seasons where you got to push. Anybody ever run? How many of you guys know sometimes the hardest part of the race is the last part? Because you see your finish line, but you're like, oh, it's still 5 miles away. Lord Jesus, help me. When we walked in that parade and I saw the church steeple and I was like, oh, Jesus, it's like 3 miles down the road. I see the end. Got to persevere. Keep going. You know, you got to keep going. You got to keep running. Don't quit. And when you're running, if you look to your left and your right and you see somebody running with you, here's what you do. Encourage them in their race. Don't get over into their lane. Don't look at their lane, but encourage them. I loved running when I was in my 20s. I ran just religiously. I ran every day. Every time I had time, I'd run 3 to 4 miles a day. I'd run probably about 10 miles a week. And I used to just run. And when I came home even, I used to run a lot. And one of the things that I loved doing when I was running was when we would come up on people and they were getting tired and they were wanting to quit. And you could see it in their eyes. You could tell they're going to tap out. And I'd always get beside them and be like, come on, we got this. Let's go. Let's go. We can do this together. I would tell them, come on, get up. Let's go. You've been training for this. You don't have to quit. We're almost done. And then I would, you know, get them laughing. You know, when we get done, we can go eat some cheeseburgers and steak. Let's go. Come on. And what was I doing? I was encouraging them, but I was like, I can't run this for you. I can't carry you, but I can encourage you. So when you're seeing somebody beside you, what do? Come on, let's go. If they're slacking, you say, come on. And if they don't want to go and they say, I don't want to go, I just want to sit. If you're trying to encourage them and they don't want to go, at some point you got to say, I still believe in you, but I got to go. I still believe you can't spend all your energy trying to get them to run if they don't want to run. So I want to tell you today, you guys that are here, the Lord told me this last week. And he told me it again this week in my heart. He said this, they showed up, therefore they'll receive. If you want to know how to get God to move in your life, one of the easiest ways is just show up where he's at. Just simple thing to do, simple practice you can do. So when the church doors open, what do? You show up. You know, when you come into church, I believe this much, when you walk into the doors of the church, God will move and minister in your life because you put yourself in a position to receive from him. You know, it's the part of showing up. Sometimes that's how it is with going to the gym. That's how it is with running. It's just showing up. How many of you guys know going to the gym is not always easy? But I've heard it said recently, one of the best things you can do is don't set goals, just show up. Just show up to the gym. Even if you're like so tired you can't walk, just go through the door and sit on the workbench and just sit. Why? Because they say if you just show up, that's half the battle. That's half of the thing. You know, I found this out, and most of us would agree in this room. We've probably seen this, but half of the thing with Christianity, are you ready, is just showing up. It's just simply showing up. But when you show up, what do? You position yourself. And then God can minister to you and encourage you. And I know that's why you guys are here, because you're like, man, I got to get to church. Why? Because God's there. I need to get around people of faith. I need to get I mean, how many of us in the room have ever woke up on a Sunday and been like, man, I don't want to get up? Can I be honest? I woke up this morning after a week vacation thing with my family and our son, who is now full-blown half-man and is in everything. I mean, just, yeah, Lord Jesus. I got a workout this last week. I mean, 32 pounds in each. I mean, he's hefty. And picking him up and carrying him, play. I mean, just, you know, and we came home and we drove and we took our time home. And it took us, it's a four-hour drive, I think, 3.5, 4 hours. And it took us like 5 or 6 hours because we took our time. And, I mean, it was fun, but Dax, he doesn't like car rides, and so he was screaming a lot. And he screams. He's got this scream that's so loud. Like, I mean, seriously, I think, like, the heavens open when he does it because I'm like, God's probably like, dude, that's loud. Like, I'm like, I mean, he could sing. Like, oh, I mean, it's so loud. And it's in your car, and it's like, you're like, oh, and it scares you sometimes when you're driving, and he does it unexpectedly because that's what he does to get your attention, okay? It's cute for, like, the first 3 times, but when he does it, like, 37 times, you're like, I'm walking home, okay? Give me a bus ticket. I'm taking the bus home. Y'all can drive. And so we got home late, you know, and last night we did some things. My wife and I had to work on some things. So when I got up this morning, it wasn't like I woke up this morning and angels were singing. It wasn't like I got out of bed and the dog was like, hello. And I was like, life is awesome. The Lord is. I mean, it wasn't like I woke up and Matt, you know, reached out to me and said, I got a song for you, Brother Matt. God is good. Oh, Brother Matt, you're so good. Thank you for singing to me this morning. And I woke out and the coffee pot was going and the smell, and it was a perfect blend of coffee. And I drank it and my eggs were perfect. My wife said, welcome out, dear. Did you sleep well? And I'm like, yes, babe. I slept so well. Are you ready for church? I'm ready for church, babe. God is so good. My life wasn't like that this morning. In fact, when I got up this morning, I was like, Lord Jesus, I don't even want to get out of bed. Can I go to church in just my undergarments that I'm, can I legally go to church this way and not get in trouble? Can I go to church with just, you know, can I just get out of bed and roll out of bed and walk into church right before they start and preach? Can I do that? Or, you know, my son, and he got up this morning, and he was his normal self, ready to go, loving life, and I'm over here drinking my coffee and trying to just get going and get myself. But what am I doing? I'm saying to myself, I just got to get to church so I can get around the people of God, so I can get around those that believe like me and think like me. And if I can just get over there and do what God has called me to do and run my race, yeah, it might not be easy, but I know there's going to be a reward at the end of this, and God will look at me and say, good job, you did what I told you to do. If I can just show up, I don't have to call anybody else. I don't have to ask anybody else. I know even if my wife looks at me and says, I can't go to church, I'm still coming to church. I'm still coming to church. Now, can I be real honest with you? There have been times where I have preached. This has been maybe a year ago. There was a Sunday that I preached, and I got up to come to church on Sunday, and I was not doing too well on the physical side. And I told my wife, I said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it to church today. And she said, well, what am I supposed to do? I said, you're going to have to preach. And I said, we can't call Matt Perkins because it's only 45 minutes before, and he'd be flying 100 miles an hour. And I don't want him to go to jail. I mean, it'd be kind of funny, but I don't want him to end up in jail. And so I said, we can't call Matt. I said, you're going to have to go. And she said, she came to church. And when she left, the whole time I was praying, and I said, Lord, I believe the word. And I start quoting the word, quoting the word, quoting the word, quoting the word, staying on the word, speaking the word, declaring the word. And so I got out of bed. And when I got out of bed, y'all, I didn't feel a lick better. And I came into this church, and everybody saw me, and none of you knew what I was going through. Because I didn't make mention of it. I didn't get behind the pulpit and talk about it. But I was preaching from this pulpit in faith. But what I found out was when I got done, every symptom was gone. What was the battle? Showing up. So I remember I called my wife and she said, are you coming? And I said, yeah, I'm coming. I'm getting ready. And she said, are you gonna be able to make it? I said, yeah, I'll be able to make it. And I said, here's what we'll do. If I can't make it, we got a wheelchair, don't we? Push me in and I'll preach from the wheel. I said, I'll do anything to preach. I said, I am not going to church just because of this. And so I came in and I preached. So I say that to say this. I'm not highlighting weakness or anything like that. I'm just saying every day I wake up, it's not like I felt like coming every day. A lot of times everybody thinks you just come into church and it's always this joyous, angelical thing. It's not. Sometimes you have to be disciplined. You have to do what Paul said. I discipline myself. So I want to encourage you with running your race and not looking back. You cannot look to the left or to the right. You know, looking back at your past will keep you locked up also. Looking at your past, you have to learn this as a believer. You have to live beyond your past. You have to. You know, when we run our race, like I just said, you cannot look to the left or to the right. You got to run the race that God has set for you. And whatever God has told you to do is important. You know, if people say it's not, that's not true. If you're a stay-at-home mom, it's important. If you're a, you know, if you assist somebody at a job, it's important. Every part of the body of Christ, that's why I love that scripture where it says every part is important. The whole body is important. And we know that here because we make a mention of that all the time. But Paul, you know, talks about our past. But, you know, a lot of people, they're not experiencing God's best in their life or the fullness of God's best because you're still living in their past or you're still living in your past. You know, your past is something for a lot of people that kind of comes up all the time. You know, when you're running a race, I found out that it's usually people get off when they start looking at everybody else's race and they veer off and try to run a race they're not called to run. Or they're running their race and they're always looking back. And you can't do that. Paul makes mention of this over in Philippians 3:13. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. As a believer, one of the things that I've made mention before, I'm going to say this again, there's a lot of letting go and reaching towards. There's a lot of letting go of hurt and reaching towards love. There's a lot of letting go of pain. There's just a lot of letting go of some things and reaching towards. Paul pursued the things of God with everything he had. But before he did that, he had to forget some things that were in his past. You know, I want to encourage you with this, that there's life beyond your past. There's life beyond your past. Your past might not be pretty. Most of us in this room could say our past probably is not that pretty. But if you'll let God help you, your past doesn't have to affect your future. I'll read some things that people have said about their past. One man said this, you guys know his name, is Oscar Wilde, said this, no man is rich enough to buy back his past. A farmer once said his mule was awfully backward about going forward. This is also true of many people today. It says this, Laura Palmer said this, don't waste today regretting yesterday instead of making a memory for tomorrow. Here's something else. Your past cannot be changed, but you can change your tomorrow by your actions today. Van Crouch said this, there's no use looking back unless that's the direction you're planning to go. So all of us in this room, all of us have a past to deal with. And like I said, some of us might say, man, my past's not that pretty. I would say most of our past are not pretty. I mean, you know, there might have been some things back there that were good, but a lot of us have some things that were not that good. But if we allow God to help us, we can move past that. Amen. So what are some things that we can do to get past that, to move life beyond our past? Number one, I'm going to go through this one. We'll see if I get through this. If I do, then we'll do number one today, and we'll do number two and three next week. The prisons of your past try to hold us captive. That's one thing you can know for sure. The prisons of the past try to hold us captive. The most famous person in the Bible who looked back at their past was Lot's wife. Now, you guys know the story of Lot's wife, right? They told her not to look back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. The angels instructed Lot and his wife to flee from Sodom and not look back. But in Genesis 19:26, his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. So Lot's wife, there's some things you can learn from her. Number one, she lost her focus. Number two, she lost her power to function in the present. And number three, she lost her ability to move forward. Number one, she lost her focus. Therefore, she was not in the position to enjoy the blessings of God. Number two, she lost her power to function in the present, even though she still had the form of a person. She lost her power to function in the present. And number three, she lost her ability to move forward into the things of the future. She became a pillar of salt because she looked back. The truth is that the hounds of the past want to grab a hold of all of us. You would understand what I mean by that? Your past tries to hold you through accusations, guilt, torment, regrets, memories of flawed behavior, or missed opportunities. The weakness of our flesh has helped to make us make our past less than perfect. It also, our immature behavior. How many of you ever had that happen? Oh, I'll just tell myself, amen to me. Our immature behavior in the past may have robbed us of walking in victory and the success that God has for us. But here we go. Thank God we can go on to what God has for us today. Here's something that I want to highlight. There's two things that our past does that I've seen a lot this with people and individuals, even in myself. Because of failures in the past, many no longer pursue the promises of God's word. Why? They think it is possible for others, but not for themselves. See, they think things are possible for everybody else, but not for themselves. The things that happened in our past have a way of scarring us or scaring us until we tend to excuse ourselves from the possibilities of today. So what happens is, a lot of times with people's past is, it has a way of kind of coming up and bringing back things we did, things we said, how we acted, behavior. And sometimes people don't even want to get into God's word because they can't ever see themselves living that way. You know, I've talked to so many people that deal with this, where they think everything else is possible for everybody else, but not for themselves. And they have a very hard time seeing themselves free from their past because they think, well, the blessings are for this person, but not for me. Or the blessing is for this and not for me. And so what we have to do is, there's some things we can look at, and we'll talk about those later, but there's some things we can do to change that so we can go forward and let go of our past and not allow it to affect us. Amen? And so, you know, we all pretty much are the same. We're pretty much the same. All of us can think of 1,000 reasons in our past as to why we cannot be successful today. How many of you could just raise a hand, leg, foot, toe? All of us could, but this is not the end of the story. See, we can look at, number two, we can look at people in the Bible who lived beyond their past. How many of you guys know the Bible's good for this? Amen? And how many of you know the Bible's living? Yes. Throughout Scripture, there's story after story, but I'm going to just highlight a couple of them. Abraham had to leave his relatives, his familiar surroundings, and go to a land he did not know. He couldn't look at his past. He had to move forward. How many of you know sometimes God will call you forward and you have to let go? Got to let go. Well, one of the things, I found this out. You can talk to God and try to reason with him, but usually if he tells you to let go, it's better just to let go. You know, just let go. Because a lot of times we think that we know. Well, we don't. We just know what we see. God knows past that. Amen? So we have to learn to let go. We have to learn to be like Abraham, not look back. Moses had to forget the riches of Egypt and choose to obey God. How many of you guys know Moses? I mean, honestly, he let a lot go. He was going to be able to live a life that most people dreamt of. Today, it would be very much, you could think of it this way, it would be similar to somebody being the son of a multimillionaire or billionaire and letting all that go to follow God. That's what Moses did. Gideon had to overcome the low social status of his family and being the least member in his family to become a leader of Israel. How many of you guys have ever felt that way? My status symbol. You can't look back at your family. Can't look back. Amen. Peter and the other disciples had to leave their businesses to follow Christ. I mean, you read the stories in the gospel, and every time they are called, what he would say, let it go and follow me. Let your business go and follow me. Well, how many of you know, once you let it go, you can't look back? So Peter had to put behind him the fact that he denied Christ 3 times in order to become a vessel God could use on the day of Pentecost. So think about that. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. I always think to myself, I never did that, so I'm pretty good right now. I might get mad at God or frustrated, but I've never denied him 3 times, but Peter did. But Peter had to let that go. The Apostle Paul, he had to deal with the past. Look at his past. You ready? Philippians tells us again, in Philippians 3:13 in the Living Bible, he says, "No, dear brothers, I'm still not all I should be, but I am bringing all my energies to bear on this one thing, forgetting the past." Paul had to forget his past. Paul consented to Saul's death. Paul persecuted Christians. Paul had to forget his past status and success in the religious community. The Bible says that Paul was a Pharisee among the Pharisees. Paul had to forget his past education and be willing to learn the Word of God by revelation from Jesus Christ. Paul had to forget past associations or associates and friends and choose to be with the people of like faith. If anyone had enough baggage from the past to use as an excuse to not do what God told him to do, it would have been Paul. But Paul said something. What did he say? But he let go or forgot the past. God does not use people who had a perfect past. Listen to me. God does not use people who had a perfect past. Rather, he uses people who rise up beyond their past and obey him. You don't have to have a perfect past for God to use you. And you know, like I just read there, Paul had every opportunity to say, I shouldn't be used by God. I mean, Paul's life was not perfect. Peter wasn't perfect. How many of you guys know Peter always put his foot in his mouth? All the time. That's why I can relate to Peter. I'm like, me and you get along, man, because I do that occasionally. Abraham had to let go of his past. You know, Gideon had to let go of his past. Paul had to let go, forgetting those things which are behind. So when we're running our race, number one, we're talking today about forgetting what's behind us. Amen. And we're going to look forward this next week of what we can do to do that, how we can implement it, how we can let go of our past. But one thing you have to do, if you're going to run the race that's marked out before you, you have to forget what's behind you. You have to forget and not look at who's to your left and to your right. You have to run your race that God has set for you. You cannot look back and run your race. If you do, you're going to go off course. You cannot look to the left and the right. If you do, you're going to go off course. You can't compare yourself to everybody else. There's only one person you need to look to and one person you compare yourself to. That's Jesus Christ. You don't worry about everybody else. Well, what happens if so-and-so is running a different race? Let them run their race. And when you do what God has called you to do, you'll do it with joy and perseverance. Yes, you'll have seasons. Yes, you'll have seasons where it's a little harder. Yes, you'll have seasons where it's joyous. But if you do that, then you finish that race and you accomplish what God has told you to do. Well, what happens when you finish your race? You finish it, then you hear those words that every single person that I know as a Christian wants to hear. Good job. Good job, my faithful servant. You did it. You did it. And for me, that's what I want to hear. I want, when I get to heaven, I want to hear him say to me, you did it. You did. You ran it. It might have been hard. You had to discipline yourself. I mean, think about it, guys. Peter and Paul, how many of you guys know, I had the Lord remind me of this when I was studying this out. This has been a while back. And the Lord brought this to my remembrance. He said, Peter and Paul ran different races, but they accomplished what they were called to do. They both reached different people. And could you imagine if Peter got jealous of Paul and Paul got jealous of Peter? Could you imagine if Peter? Peter would have wrote, Peter wasn't called to write half the Bible. Paul was. So Paul did it, and Paul obeyed God, and he ran his race. And Peter did it. I'm glad that Peter's in the Bible. I'm glad he ran his race. Why? Because like I said, I can relate to the guy. I'm glad that Abraham ran his race. I'm so glad that he didn't look back, and the Bible didn't say, and God told Abraham to leave, and Abraham left, and then he turned around and looked back and went home. Next story. I'd have been like, man, that's a bad story. That's such a bad story. But instead, it says Abraham trusted God and followed God. And when I read that, I go, I can do what he did. If God ever called me, I can go forward with what God has called me to do. Why? I don't have to look back. And that's like, you know, David. Could you imagine if David, could you imagine him running in to face Goliath? And then he starts running like as fast as he can to get to Goliath. And all of a sudden, he's like, yeah, I'm done with this one. And he turns around and he runs back. David, what did David do when he ran at the giant? He ran forward. He never looked back. And I mean, as believers, that's what we got to do. And God wanted me to encourage you. The first half of that, just to encourage you, run your race. Do not look to the left. Do not look to the right. Don't look back. We're going to talk more about our past because I feel like a lot of people deal with the past thing. It's not that people don't deal with, you know, looking to the left and to the right, but I found out with most people, if we can get you running forward and quit get you looking back and looking forward, you'll accomplish what God's called you to do. Amen? And especially if you come to a good church like LifePoint. You know, because why is it important? Because you're like people of faith. So when y'all running your race, you're not getting mad at one another trying to knock each other over. Instead, you're going, let's go. We can do this together. And that's what I love. I like it when I see church people encourage other people. When you come in one way, that person runs up beside you and says, we got this. Come on. And you're like, but I'm tired. I know I was there last week, but I tell you, God will give you strength. Let's keep going. Don't quit. Keep preaching. Keep doing it. And when you feel like your part is insignificant, somebody running their race can say to you, your part is just as important. How many of you know when you run a race, have you ever ran relay races when you were a kid? You know what a relay race is? It's where four runners go. And usually what they do is when they run, every person has different speeds. And a lot of times, the fastest person is not number one. The fastest is last. And the reason why they do that is because sometimes people will get way ahead. They want the person that's the fastest to end and to be able to finish strong. And I don't know how many races I've watched where every single part is important. Every part is important in that race. Amen? And every part, they're running. And one of the things that you have to do when you run that race is you have what they call a baton. Now, here's what you do when you take a baton. You have to stick your hand back, and you cannot look backwards. Because if you start running like this, you start going like this, and you lose speed. So the second, this is what I love. This is Christianity right here, guys, is when you're running a race, When you're running a relay, you're ready. You see the person coming. And when they come, they'll usually say a word to you, which means go. And they mean for you, kick it on turbo. Do not wait. Don't delay. So when I hear that word or I watch that, I get that cue, I take off. Well, the person behind me doesn't slow down. Instead, they stay the same speed and they pick up speed to catch me. And when they catch me, they put their hand out and they pass me that baton. You know, they spend days and weeks and months just working on this. Boom, catch it. Boom, catch it. Why? Because you catch it in stride and you go. And what happens is you do that. But you know what? Every part in that race is important. And the most important part in that race is the last guy because they got to finish it. And I don't know how many times I've watched races where everybody's ahead. And here comes, you know, some country, and they're running, and you're like, they're losing. They're losing this. And the announcers will be like, they're going to pass the baton to so-and-so, and they've got the fastest mile in the, you know, da-da. And you're like, oh, this is going to get good. And so all these guys are running, and they're like, ooh, and they're running. And here they go, last baton, and the guy kicks it, and he comes up, and he catches them. And all of a sudden, I have seen this. I've seen this happen more than once in a live race. They will come down that straightaway. And that guy will be on their tail. I mean, literally, just right back here. If they would have kept looking forward and ran their race, they would have won it. But I've watched this more than once where the person running goes, I wonder where the speed person is. And what do? They look back for 1 second, and all of a sudden that person blows by them because they lost speed and they lose the race. Why? Because they looked back and was concerned about everybody else instead of running the race. Every part of that race is important. You say, how does that pertain to me? Every part of the body of Christ is important. Every part from the person that greets, to the person that ushers, to the people that worship, to the people that serve in the sound booth, to the people that teach your kids, to the people that do anything in this church. Every part is important. The pastor's part is important. The stay-at-home mom's important. The stay-at-home dad. Whatever you do, your part is important. Run your race. Your race is important. Amen? And don't look back. Some of you guys are running hard. Don't worry about everybody else. You might say, oh, but so-and-so. Don't worry. Some people, I'll just tell you this, and then we're going to pray. Had the Lord just bring this up in my heart. I'll just say it this way, and then we'll pray, because it'll kind of leave on a, like, oh, that's true. The Lord just said it this way to me. Some people need to let go of dead weight. Some of y'all got dead weight. And I don't know what that means. Like things dead weight, you know, like weighing you down like the scripture said. But sometimes dead weight, I'm just going to be honest. Can we be real honest? And then I'll pray for you because the Holy Spirit will help you out with this. But sometimes dead weight are people. And sometimes you got to let some people go. Meaning, I'm not saying like you go home today and you call somebody up and be like, Susan, I got some bad news. I'm at church today. You dead weight, girl, and you gone. I'm not meaning that, okay? You know, I'm not saying you go home and, you know, Fred, sorry, you're dead weight. You know, that's not what I mean. We don't kick somebody to the curb. But what I'm saying is spend less time with them. Doesn't mean you just means maybe let that go for a little bit. They're weighing you down. They're holding you back from running that race that God has marked out for you. And I believe if you got something, as we pray when we close, Holy Spirit will show you. And here's what I love about the Holy Spirit. If he tells you to do it, he'll show you how to do it. Amen? And he'll show you how to do it, and he'll do it with love. Amen? He's not going to have you just kick somebody to the curb, but he'll show you with love. So let me pray for you this morning. Father, we just thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you've shared with us today. Holy Spirit, I just did what you told me to do. I shared what you told me to share, and I believe that it ministered to the people here today. I just pray, Lord, that every person, the sound of my voice, will run their race with perseverance. I pray that they'll run their race with endurance. Lord, they'll be disciplined. They'll let the things of the past go. They'll not look to the left or to the right, but they'll run the race that's marked out for them. I pray, Lord, that if they run that race and they see others around them, they'll be an encourager. Lord, they won't look off to the left and try to do something they're not called to do. They'll just stay in their lane and do what it is that you have called them to do. Holy Spirit, I pray for every person today in the sound of my voice. If anybody in this room has something in their life that is dead weight, whether it's just anything, situations, people, problems, whatever it is, Lord, that's weighing them down, I pray, Holy Spirit, you remind them of that. And I pray, Lord, that they just let that go. They let that go. They let go and they press towards. They let go and they press towards what it is that you've called them to do. And Father, I pray that every person in this room today, as we continue this message next week, Lord, we let go of our past. We let go of anything that would try to come up to hold us and to pull us back. And we press towards what it is that we've been called to do. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done today. And we believe that you've got great things in store for us, and we give you praise in Jesus' name.